God created us to live a life of joy and happiness. But Satan tries every day to take that away from us, to rob us of our joy. This sermon this morning is going to be part one of a two-part sermon that I mentioned, talking about doing some more verses to add to our memory work this year. Both of these sermons today are going to deal with joy. Joy, Carol always reminds me to smile when I say that, and that I thank her for that. We're going to be talking about joy. So let's start, first of all, looking at where we ended last week. Last week was for such a time as this, and we looked at Esther, and each of us have a role to play, and we don't know how large that role is going to play, but God is working in our lives and has an important job for us to do. These series that I'm going to do, we'll do one on memory, and then I want to have an overall theme, and they're going to revolve around these verses, maybe like one sermon a month. But we want to remember that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So much of the world is living in fear today, they're scared to get out of their own house. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." And when did God have those plans for us? It goes all the way back to when we were formed in the mother's womb, Psalm 139 and verse 13. And we want to start this morning by considering rejoice in the Lord always. If you'll open your Bibles to Psalm 118, and I'll begin reading at verse 22. "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it." When you think about this is the day that the Lord has made, you think about people making things. You might see them make some pottery. You might see them make a painting, paint a painting. You might see them make a house. And whatever somebody makes, that reveals some things about the character of the Creator. You think about God making days. God is in the day-making business. And it's so much more grander than making a pot or a bowl or a house or something like that. And sometimes we think about making things, and maybe a factory comes to our mind with an assembly line. God is in heaven. We are here on the earth day after day. He's making another day for us. He's making another day. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This verse reminds us that God's compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. If we look to God, if we look to God. Psalm 118:22, "The stone which the builders rejected, He has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." This passage, this psalm is a messianic psalm. The author composed it to be sung by crowds approaching the temple as they would be going up to the temple, especially during worship festivals in Jerusalem. And it's easy to remember this verse, where it's located. When you think about there's 24 hours in a day, and just remember Psalm 118, the one before the longest psalm, 118:24, "This is the day which the Lord has made." Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Chapter 4, and we're going to begin at verse 4. And look some more about having joy, God's kind of happiness, and why are we to rejoice and how are we to do that. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So we need to understand these verses. Paul goes on to say, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. These verses are easy to read, but I will admit they are hard for me to put in my life. I will say I'm going to rejoice in the Lord, and then Satan comes along, he does something. We're just bombarded with so many distractions day to day. But God created us to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. What type of sentence is this? Is this a question? It's not a question. It's a command. It's a command sentence. Rejoice in the Lord. When do we do this? Sometimes when we feel good. Rejoice in the Lord always. We've got to understand that this is a command. Just the same as repent and be baptized. Just the same as the command for us to assemble. The same as the command for us to sing. The same as the command for us to give on the first day of the week. We are to rejoice in the Lord always. Anxiety is epidemic in this country. There are so many people filled with anxiety disorders, depression, things that they let the world get them down. One of the biggest areas of pharmaceuticals are drugs that deal with people's state of mind. And that should not be surprising because Satan is so good at troubling our minds, getting our minds to not rest on the Lord. But the Bible, it's like a medicine chest of antidepressants right here in Philippians 4. And the problem is we don't take them every day. We don't take them every day. And we understand, and from personal experience, if someone is on medication and they don't take their medication, they can have some big problems to deal with. We understand that. Friends, when we don't take God's medicine every day, we can have some big problems to deal with in our mind and being anxious. And Paul in Philippians 4 through 9, he gives us a personal 6-point strategy for mental peace. The first step, in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Perhaps you're thinking, well, you can't just tell somebody to rejoice. You can't command them to have joy. Why not? Do we stop and ask when somebody says you can't do that? Do we ask why not? And then people start making excuses, one excuse after another. And we talked about last week, we don't want to play the victim. We don't want to be the victim. We don't want somebody else. You stop and think about this. We'll blame somebody else for controlling their life, and we don't have control over our own life. And that's the same as the Calvinist doctrine that says we're either lost or saved. We're one way or another, and we can't do anything to change that. Friends, we can change our life. God says we're not a victim. God says we are a victor. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Can we rejoice? We can rejoice. When can we rejoice? We can rejoice always. We can rejoice always. But notice that this is a qualified statement. It tells us to rejoice in the Lord. That's where we rejoice, in the Lord. We may have a lot of things that weigh us down, that burden us in life. We cannot rejoice in our load, but we can rejoice in our Lord. We may not find any joy in our situation, but we can find joy in our Savior. And to rejoice in the Lord means that we rejoice in this unchanging relationship that we have with the Sovereign Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we have a relationship with Him. He's unchanging. His qualities, His gifts, His promises. Friends, we can rejoice in that. The Bible tells us to rejoice in so many things. Deuteronomy 26:11 says we should rejoice in all His gifts. 2 Chronicles 6:41, to rejoice in His goodness. Psalm 9:14, rejoice in His salvation. Psalm 31:7, rejoice in His love. You go right on down this list up here, we rejoice in His name all day long. Rejoice in His statutes as in great riches. Psalm 119:162, rejoice in God's promises. Isaiah 65:18 commands us to rejoice in what God has created. Jeremiah 31:12, we're to rejoice in the bounty of God. Romans 5:12 tells us to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And we say we've got nothing to be happy about. Friends, we aren't taking our medicine every day. We need to start off the year taking our medicine every day, spending time in God's Word and looking at all of these promises that He's giving us, so that we can have a joyful Lord. So this six-step system that He gives us here in Philippians chapter 4, we see that we are to rejoice in the Lord in verse 4, be gracious with others, verse 5, remind ourselves of God's nearness, verse 5, cast out worry, verse 6, pray with thanksgiving, verse 6, focus our mind on what is excellent and praiseworthy, verses 8 and 9. And when you look at these principles, there's two promises connected with these principles. The first promise is the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. Friends, I need that. I don't know about you, but I need the peace of God to guard my heart and mind. And the second one in verse 9, the peace of God will be with you. You think about the joy of Christ. It's the joy of, you think about the joy of the world for a minute, and you'll see people very happy and excited, and certain times of the year they might get a present, and you see children excited for 2 minutes, and then that excitement and joy is gone. It's gone. It's short-lived. The joy of Christ, it gives us joy for eternity. It gives us joy for our soul and our body. It gives us joy in good times and in bad times. Verse 4 says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. So on this slide with the verses up here, these are going to be verses that I will add to our memory book. I'll probably wait till I go through several of these sermons and then either add them or we'll make a whole new book. But these are going to be some verses that we can look at, you can look at each day to help get our minds on the right track for this year. Philippians 4:5, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. So here are two steps into a peaceful mind. We need to be gracious to others. And again, saying please and thank you, it's like nobody says that anymore. Just common courtesy, being gracious to others. And remind ourselves of God's nearness. You know, that's something that has helped me over time when I'm in a situation that I used to feel uncomfortable with. And it's like, I'm not wherever I am by myself. God is with me. God is with me. I'm not in some unknown part of this location or that location. God owns it all. It's this place is His. If I'm over here, God is with me. And that can help us. Paul was writing to the church in the city of Philippi, one of the dearest congregations in the New Testament. They were generous to Paul, sending him financial help time and again. But there was an internal strife in the church. And at the beginning of chapter 4, Paul addressed it, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Now we're talking about joy. And have you ever noticed how interpersonal relationships are a major source of stress? Most of the things we worry about involve other people in one way or another. Perhaps we're not getting along with coworkers, our neighbors, fellow church members, maybe somebody in our family, tension at home. And that is going to always exist to some extent. And sometimes those conversations and exchanges might get kind of flammable. And we can't always put out the fire, but we need to have that joy in our life where we can bring the temperature down. We don't have to escalate things like other people. We need to have the joy of God in our hearts, in our lives every day. We can lower the temperature by being gentle and gracious. It doesn't mean that we have to be weak or timid. It means that we're moderate in our reaction, pleasant in our demeanors, and we let our graciousness be known to everyone. It's easy to with some people. It's easy to be a Christian to some people. There are some people that try us. I heard somebody say one time, don't say you're having a bad day. Say you're having a character building day. And I think all of us sometimes can relate. We're having some character building days where God is putting us through some trials. The third step in overcoming worry is to remember the closeness of our Lord. The Lord is near. The Lord's presence is near us at all times. We don't need to worry. The Lord is near us. He's all around us. And that can be a great comfort to us. God is a resource and a helper that we can always turn to. He was a very present help in trouble. And that fact should make a difference to us. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. You know, God is in control. Whatever is happening to us today, God is bringing something in our life today to help us face tomorrow. There may be something today that I don't like, but just like when we look at Esther and Providence and Joseph and everybody in the Bible, you see, God is always preparing us for something in the future. We need to be thankful for all of these lessons that He gives us each day and rejoice in the Lord. And we'll notice that more this evening when we look at the book of James and how we can rejoice in trials, because again, they are preparing us. They are helping us to mature, to grow stronger, to be like God. But notice, again, Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. We need to be more thankful. Don't thank God just for the good things. Thank Him for the bad things, too, because we need those to appreciate the good things and to help make us stronger. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you rejoice in the Lord, if you practice graciousness, practice God's nearness, you cast your worries on Him, you pray with thanksgiving, the peace of God shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Again, this is like a prescription for us to do. And so many of us, if the doctor writes a prescription, if they don't send it to the drugstore, what do? We want to take it and run to the drugstore and get it filled as soon as possible. God gives us one, and what do? I'll get around to that later. And we close the book, and we don't fill it. And then, again, we let Satan rob us. We let Satan rob us of the joy that God wants us to have every day. I was listening to someone this morning. It was two doctors talking. The one I try to listen to regularly, and they were talking about things going on in the world and taking a stand. He was talking more about conservatism in general, and the one doctor said, and you know, he said we all need to come out of the closet. He said it's easier today for someone that's a homosexual or a transgender person to come out of the closet than it is for a conservative to come out of the closet. And friends, that's a sad day. That's a sad day. We need to let people know that we are Christians. But this doctor was saying, when I let people know the stand I took on certain things, he said, I did not lose a single friend. He said, all of those people that left me, they weren't my friends to begin with. You got a friend, they're going to stick with you. And he said, when all of those people left, that opened up an area in my life for more people to come in, for good people, for positive people, people to help us have a healthy mind. And again, back to the fear and doubt and worry that's in the world from day to day. And as our one verse says, we are not to have a spirit of fear. And we are to be sober-minded where we can discern right and wrong. All of the way we sin comes in through our senses. And if we just let any and every message come into our head, it's going to be chaos in there. And it's no wonder some people can't function normally, let alone live. And God doesn't want us, Christ doesn't want us just to live. You know how He wants us to live. He wants us to live abundantly. God created joy for us every day. Verse 7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your minds through Christ Jesus. Again, we rejoice in the Lord. We practice graciousness, practice God's nearness, cast your worries on Him, pray with thanksgiving. It's going to guard our hearts and mind. And that word guard, it's a military term. But notice and. The first word here is the conjunction and, which connects the promise to the conditions previously mentioned. The peace of God, this isn't just the peace God gives, it's the peace He enjoys, His own peace. It's the peace of Christ Himself who said, John 14:27, "My peace I give to you." You know, we can look around at people in our lives that we think, "I wish I was like this person. This person doesn't seem to have a care in the world. I wish I had the peace that this person has." And friends, that's nothing compared to the peace of Christ. And Jesus doesn't say, "I can give you the best man's peace." He says, "I'll give you my peace. My peace I give to you. This surpasses every thought. It's beyond the ability to understand or explain it to others." And when we do as God commands us, we are promised the peace of God. And sometimes, if I wonder why am I not enjoying that peace, I have to ask myself, am I doing what God told me to do? Am I following the prescription? Am I following the prescription? And you know, the older I get, the more prescriptions I get, the more pills I have in my cabinet. But I try to take those every day. I try to take those, as some people would say, religiously. And the prescription, how we have right here in Philippians 4, how religiously do we take this prescription? Again, we'll guard. It's a Greek military term here. It meant to station sentries to protect, defend, preserve an area. And that's what God's going to do for our heart. You see the National Guard, you see an army called in to protect an area, and you think nothing's going to get in where those guards are, where those soldiers are. God is going to guard our mind when we follow this prescription, our hearts and minds, our emotions and our thoughts. And this is part of our birthright as a Christian that we can enjoy when we are baptized into the family and be part of the family. And I've used the illustration before. When I was a small child and we were going somewhere, if I was with one of my brothers, my big brothers, I didn't worry about a thing because I was the youngest. I had five older brothers. I knew any one of them, if there was any trouble, they would take care of me. They'd snatch me up. They wouldn't let any harm come to me. Do we realize that Jesus Christ is our brother? We have that relationship with Him. He's not going to let anything befall us that is going to be detrimental to us. He's going to snatch us out of the times that we need help. If we are near Him and have that relationship with Him. Now, if I went somewhere and my brother was somewhere else, my brother didn't help me at all. We got to have that close relationship with Jesus Christ. This is the peace of God. It's keeping the heart and mind quiet in the sense that it's not going to upset us. God is almighty. With prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, therefore, let your requests be made known unto Him. And He, through peace in Christ, will keep your heart and mind at rest. You know, God is called, God the Father is called the God of peace in Hebrews 13:20. God the Son is called the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. God the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Peace, Ephesians 4:3. I want us, we'll look at James 1:2, and then we'll pick up with that this evening. But James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. The word count or consider is a Greek word meaning to think things through, to consider things mentally, to look at something from a different mindset. This word actually means to make a decision about something after weighing all the facts and circumstances. There may be reversals and difficulties, and our first emotions and reactions may be painful, but we have divine resources, divine help, divine truth to help us as we work through and think through the things that come along in this life. And then we, as a Christian, something happens, we should not draw the same conclusion that someone of the world would draw. Because we are drawing on a different power. We have different resources. We have more information than the person in the world. So we need to look at things differently. We need to look at things from the Lord's perspective. We know that God intends these things to work together for good and for His glory. And we can count it all joy. We can count it all joy. The person in the world, they don't have that help. And we'll see too when we start looking at James, those bad things that come into our life, we shouldn't look at them as things intruding into our life, but we should look at them as friends that come into our life. And why do I say that? Because those things are going to help us to mature, to become more like God, so we can be suited, so that we can live for time without end with Him. Joy. I hope and pray we all have more joy this year than we did last year. And when we talk about rejoicing in the Lord, you know, I think everybody here, if I said rejoice in the Lord and I said Acts chapter 8, you'd know who I'm talking about. When the Ethiopian treasurer, when he was baptized, what did he do? He went on his way rejoicing. Friend, if you are not in Christ, you have no true joy. If you have any joy, it's only going to be temporary. The true joy comes from being in Christ. If you're outside of Christ, we pray that you would put yourself in Christ this morning, be baptized into Christ. We invite you to do so and come forward now as we stand and sing.